we praise God for it. Reflection Sunday. Hallelujah. I praise God for that too. And time for me. Do I have my book? Oh, glory to God. I left my book inside. I'm going to go get it right after I turn it over to the sister for them. No, I didn't say you're going first. I'm just turning it over to you. Amen. I gotta keep Sister Pennell on her toes so she don't get too comfortable, Brother Les. Because I think probably one of these Sundays is coming where I just say, you know what? The Lord told me Sister Pennell got to bring the word today. And I'm going to go sit down. And I'm just going to put the mic right there in the stand. And she gets to talk all that stuff from back to her. I'm going to go sit down. And it's going to be empty up here until she finally comes. And she's going to come running. I know that. Amen. Amen. Just to share a word. But praise God. No, I'm going to turn it over to you, Sister Mel, so you can just do whatever that the Lord placed on your heart to do. Go in whatever order you want for this Reflection Sunday. But I praise God for an opportunity to reflect on what the Lord has been speaking unto us. Amen?
Amen.
And specifically you, right? Because I get a chance to sit and to take notes today. And I really enjoy this, and I think it's a good thing. How many people enjoy this?
Amen.
That it's good to be able to, right? And it puts a focus. I remember, amen, when we were Lion and Judah, and we had to come to church every week with a song, scripture, and an exhortation. And it prepared me for church. No more was I just rolling up in there. Because the pastor could call on you at any time. I never forget the time he called me to be part of praise and worship. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was early when we were going to church. Yeah. That was like we had just recently gotten saved. And to go up there and try to sing. So first of all, I didn't know that many songs. Like now, I don't know that many songs. But I wasn't used to singing out loud. Especially not in front of people. And they had microphones and stuff, so you couldn't. And I was like, oh gosh. And people were looking at you. That was before I read the scripture in Jeremiah. Amen. Be not dismayed at their faces. Because I was dismayed at a whole bunch of faces.
Yeah.
Amen. But he's changed that. But it's good. Amen. Reflection Sunday. Amen. Because it allows you to tune in a little bit more, right? And to be ready to give what God, give a little bit of what God has given unto you. So I look forward to that. Amen. So let's just pray real quickly as we get started, and then I turn it over to Sister for now. Father, we bless you today, and we thank you, God, that you are a speaking God. And the Lord said, and Father, we are here today to hear what you have said to your people, what you have spoken unto them in their prayer closets. Father, we're praying right now for an anointing to be upon everyone who's coming forward on this morning, oh God. We pray, God, that you will anoint them with power and with authority to speak forth your word with clarity, humility, and yet with boldness. And Father, we thank you right now for the strongholds that shall be pulled down in the name of Jesus, for the yokes that shall be destroyed and the burdens that shall be removed. We call it done by faith. And so, Father, we just give you the praise for it. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, let your grace, hallelujah, just rest on everyone who's coming forward right now. And Father, may you be glorified. May you be sanctified. May you be exalted in the eyes of the people. We give you the praise now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And with that, amen. Here comes Sister Fennell.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is good. Amen. Yes, he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I don't have to go first today because I just sat back there and asked. So, I'm going to ask Brother Les to come and start us off. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay, the clap.
Amen. I'll clap for you, brother. I'll give you some love, encouragement.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. You know, I've been working on something for a couple of weeks, but my mind is not clear today. You know, Gwen's surgery is on Friday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a funny thing with me. Whenever there's any kind of problem, I always feel God's shoulder against my mm-hmm. God speaks all of them different mm-hmm. ways and things. But with me, God's shoulder is always against mine. Mm-hmm. And it's really a wonderful feeling. It makes me strong and energized. And I really have no fear. I don't just feel it when there's a problem, but I feel it almost every day. Mm-hmm. I don't really feel that right now. Gwen's surgery, I have some apprehension that I haven't ever had before. Gwen's had a few surgeries, mm-hmm. but none that I've really felt apprehensive about. And I've been praying a lot, and Gwen has felt my apprehension, which is something I always try to keep away from her. Mm-hmm. But haven't really been able to do that this time. So I've been praying that God will put his shoulder against mine where it's almost always been. I've always been amazed that God could take time for me to put his shoulder. I know God takes time for all, but just, you know, as amazing as he is and wonderful as he is, that he could take time to put his shoulder against mine is really, really fascinating. It's wonderful mm-hmm. to me. So I'm going to ask the pastor to pray for Gwen later. But also, I'm asking God to put his shoulder back against mine.
Amen.
So that I can be as strong as I always am.
Amen.
So that's really
great. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good and he's able. He's Amen. Able. He's more than able to do that. I don't know. Sometimes we don't feel as though, you know, God is there. You know, we don't feel his presence. But I think that in those times, God, because we know that he's with us and we walk
Amen.
Like he's with us.
Amen.
And we have that trust. But it's almost like because we know that so strongly, sometimes God just sort of just pulls back a little bit just to cause us to realize that he's with us.
Amen.
You know, because if we can constantly feel him all the time, then it's really, we're really not relying on him. Mm-hmm. But I think it's when we don't that it causes us to rely on him because we have nothing else to fall back on. We say, okay, I have to. Even if I don't feel God's presence, I have to know that he's with me. And we just have to rely on that he's with us. And I believe that God is with you anyway, even if you don't feel him, even if you don't sense him, even if it's not like it was before, or he's with you.
Yeah.
He's with you, and he's with Gwen. And I know that all things
mm-hmm.
are going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So, praise the Lord. God is good. He is good. He's good. And I'm just grateful that, you know, even when things don't quite go the way that we want them to go. You know, you're just coming up here and just sharing even that.
Amen.
You know, that God is still in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he allows you to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I'm grateful for that. God is good.
Praise the Lord. Just want to read something here, amen. This is what Jesus said in John 14, verse 21. He said, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. And so, Brother Les, we're just believing on that. Amen?
Amen.
That we're believing on manifestation. We're believing on the abiding presence of God for
yes.
you. Amen.
Amen.
And we're believing, amen, that God will show himself as he is, faithful. Amen.
Yes.
I just want to pray real quickly, amen, for Brother Les. Amen. Father, we bless you now. We thank you, God, for
yes,
trans.
Lord.
Transparency, O God. We thank you, God, for honesty, O God. We thank you, Father God, for our brother, O God. And Father God, we know that he is looking to you. And Father, we count you as a faithful God. And so, Father, we are just asking you a simple prayer, God. Manifest yourself unto him. Reveal yourself in his midst, O God. Father God, touch him again, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, just fill him with that blessed assurance that only comes from heaven. Father, we thank you right now, O God, that his steps and Gwen's steps are ordered by you, O God. We thank you, O God, that Father God, that you are faithful, Lord. And Father, you made a promise unto us that you would never, ever leave us nor forsake us. And so, Father, we stand on that promise.
Yes.
And Father, we're asking right now as the disciples ask, oh Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith to believe you even the more. Increase our faith, oh God, to stand with you even the more. And Father, increase Les's faith even, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that he may know deep down in his spirit, oh God, that his, that the God of his salvation is right there beside him, walking with him through every step. Father, we thank you right now that the scriptures say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Yes.
Thank you right now, O God, that fear and apprehension have been dispelled and is replaced with the blessed comfort that comes from the revelation of your presence.
Thank you, God.
We confess that over Les's life right now. We call it done by faith. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think there was something that the brother said that is so real that is going on with me at this time that, you know, that my head is not clear.
Mm.
You know, so many things going on at the same time and you can't catch up a break to pause and rethink and reorganize, you know, because that's not what God wants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
God wants just for us to trust on him, and us as human beings, it's kind of hard. We want to have control, you know.
Yes.
And something that my reflection for this morning was that, as you know, that I attend, I started school. So with all this going on, I'm asking God, and I'm like, Lord, I'm ready to quit. It's too much. And, you know, and then there's something that keeps pushing me to go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that everything else, nothing looks clear, you know. I know that Chris kind of talked a little bit about maybe we're going to have to move, you know. And it's so hard with all this stuff that, you know, I had to do so much preparation to get to grad school. And then it might be that I'm going to have to drop out. I don't know. I don't know what the conclusion is, but I just keep trusting God, you know. So, again, I went to school, and I'm supposed to do this paper that is supposed to be 12 to 15 pages. And, you know, every week I'm like procrastinating and doing research and reading and taking notes and highlighting and all this stuff. And I didn't see that I was getting nowhere. And I saw that the time was coming where I have to give this paper, which is Tuesday. So I was telling my husband, and my husband was like, that's why I don't want to know nothing about school. So anyway, I said, I have to start typing. So I just started putting stuff, but nothing for me made sense. I had to start somewhere. So I just started typing. And then I told my husband, I have to go to school on Friday and be able to sit with someone that could help me with this paper. I don't know what I'm doing. And Tuesday is in the corner. So anyway, I go, I take a shower, wash my hair, you know, and I start seeing how God, little by little, how he's making me better, you know. So here comes Friday, I get my books and everything, I go, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm feeling so good. you know, and I go and sit and I study at the library until like from like 10:30 to like maybe 8:30 at night. And I had this lady that helped me with the paper, and she's like, "Oh my God, this is so good." And I'm like, "What is so good?" She's like, and you know, she was like, and then I'm like, "But I don't know how to organize it." And she's like, "You could put this here, you could put this here, and this," and nothing of everything that I wrote, nothing she say don't make no sense. Take it out. Everything that I wrote was exactly for the paper. And then when I was driving, you know, coming back, you know, I was just thinking that that's how it is with our life too, you know, that we go through so much struggles, so much trials, so many things we don't understand, you know. But that person that came and told me, put it this way, put it that way, do it this way, and it's there, you know. I looked at it that that's how God is with us, you know what I mean? That everything that we do, we don't understand it, but at the end, there is a purpose behind it.
That's right.
So I give the glory and the honor to God. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Nina.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I just wrote down a couple of things that she said. You know, we don't understand what God is doing. And I was certainly there on yesterday, and y'all gonna hear from me in a minute. But God knows. And I think that what he's trying to say is just, we just gotta trust him. Just continue to trust him and believe that he knows, you know.
Amen.
He's been changing things, you know. It's like what you know, he's like taking that rug from underneath you. Like, forget about what you know. Just rely on me and what I know.
Amen.
Amen. So I think that's where God wants us. So I'm going to ask Sister Patricia to come now and share.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Because he's speaking the same thing. Oh my God. So God spoke to my heart and just, because I'm in Charlotte. Okay, going back to school, same exact thing. I went to school back in 2013 to get my bachelor's, and I knew that God was just with me. He was going to make this thing be easy for me. I mean, at the time, I separated from my ex-husband, I went through my divorce, being a single mom on my own, and going back to school and get my bachelor's, and I just knew that God was just going to give me a grace to do this thing. But no, it was such a struggle. And in the midst of it, I learned about myself, my issues and my weaknesses. They're not weaknesses, they're strengths, they're the hidden strengths. Correct that. And it was just such a struggle, and I was so frustrated because I was like, God, you told me to do this. But it was so hard. And even now, like, I feel like God is pushing me to go back. And I'm just like, I'm really struggling and I'm hesitating because it was not that easy last time. Like, it was so hard. Like, writing papers, like, that was just not my thing. Like, they wanted like 12 pages. Why can't I just say what I want to say in 2 pages? Right? I can say it. I can condense it. Make it make sense. Why I gotta be all alone with it? But the same thing. And it just was so frustrating to me. And I'm just like, I'm here again. Like, I'm at that place where it's like God is saying go. And I'm just like, but I don't want to. But the Lord spoke to my heart. And he reminded me of the 10 lepers. So Luke 17, 11 through 19. It says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan." I'm going to stop there.
So then as I was reading that, these men said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't say, Father, heal them and bless them. Mm-hmm. He didn't do no miracle with no dirt, no spit, or anything like that. He just said, go. Show yourselves to the priest. And then the verse it says, and so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And I looked at that, and I was just like, oh. Mm-hmm. He didn't ask for God to heal them. He just gave them a command, go. And it was in their obedience to his command that they were cleansed. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. And the thing is, with lepers at that time, they were outcasted. They were not allowed to intermingle with other people because it was fear that they would contaminate other people. Amen. So the fact that they went was a risk. Amen. They were violating the laws at that time. Mm-hmm. But they went in faith. They didn't know that as they were walking to the priest that they were going to be automatically healed. They just went because Jesus told them to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, God, all right. Then he took me to Peter in Matthew 14:22-36, where Jesus was in the sea and the waves were tossing, and you know, Peter was like, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come. And he said, come. And even at that instance, God did not speak to the waves and tell them to stop moving. Amen. He said, come out of the boat. And I was like, oh, all right, so I see the trend, you know, so God oftentimes, you know, gives us commands and instructions that aren't compatible with our current circumstance.
Yes.
And it's so funny that Sister Nadia was speaking. I was just like, you're right, Lord. You know, God is just saying that he is calling us to do things, and it may not make sense, or, you know, may have issues with, you know, that's going on in our personal lives, and also things within our health or with things within ourselves. And it doesn't make sense, but he still expects you to go. And it's not about the outcome, because my thing is, I'm obsessed with, if God tells me to do something great, it better end well. But that's not the case. And then he reminded me of the prophet Hosea, who he told to marry a harlot. And at some point, you know, now she's thinking, oh, you know, God's going to turn this woman around. She's going to be faithful. She's going to be the wife and the mother. But you see throughout Hosea that she was just unfaithful to her husband. She just kept going. At one point, he had to buy her back.
Yeah.
And then he restored her back to being his wife and being a mother. So even then, it's like, even though sometimes God tells you to do things, it's not going to end pretty. Mm-hmm. But the reward out of all these three instances is that Peter, in Matthew 16:16-19, Jesus later said that he was a solid rock because he had great faith and he knew who Jesus was. And I think it was that experience of him walking in the water and those different things that Peter had a faith and an understanding of who Jesus really was. And then the lepers, they went and they received their healing. And then Hosea, you know, we don't know if his wife would ever turn faithful to him, but we're still talking about his life centuries later.
Yeah.
His memory is still vivid to us, and we can still pull from it and be encouraged from it. Yeah. And then, you know, God reminded me also, like, over the summer, my youngest daughter has always been concerned with me because her birthday misses the cutoff. She was born October 2nd, October 1st is the cutoff. And I could not find townships that would accept her. But God was good. The township that I was in, that I live in now, had a preschool program. And it was 2.5 hours. I'm like, I'm not sending my daughter to school for 2.5 hours. I'm just not doing it. So then I felt led to put her into a private school. Now, this private school's tuition, I had no idea how I was going to pay for it.
God.
But I went in faith. I went and I gave $500 to hold her spot. And I said, God, I'm trusting you. You're going to pay this. I had no idea how he was going to do it. But then I just felt led to just go and register her for preschool. And I was like, well, God, you gave me peace about putting her in private school. But I struggled with that. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to go. So as I am registering her for preschool, the woman looks at her birthday and was like, you know, you can get her screened for kindergarten. I was like, no, I've been told before that they don't screen kids, so no, you just register for preschool. And as I'm talking to her, she grabs the phone, calls the elementary school, and schedules for her to be screened. And I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. And lo and behold, she was screaming and was accepted to kindergarten. And then I called the preschool that I gave that money to because they said $500 is mandatory, but if you don't send your child to the school, you can only get like $200, $300 of it back. So I called them and said, you know, I'm not going to send her to school. Is there a way you can refund the money? And they said, you know what? The oddest thing, your check was in the back of the lockbox. We never even cashed it. They're like, you know, we're just going to tear it up and get rid of it. It's okay. We'll just, this whole thing was just free for you. And I was like,
amen.
I was like, God is so good. He is so good. So just God just keeps showing me that it's just about being obedient and going and just leaving the outcome to Him. And regardless if it ends the way you want it to, there's still a blessing. You know, there's you get to experience a different side of Him. And I think that that's what it's all about. Like Peter, he got to see the awesomeness of Jesus. The lepers got to, you know, see that he was a healer. And I understand, showgirl. I get it. I feel you. But I think that there is a blessing. God is going to reveal Himself to us in a different way. And we're just going to learn things about ourselves in the process. So God is good.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. It's a blessing in the going. You heard that, right? Amen. Amen. We don't know, but God knows. That's why we have to just follow after Him and just do what He says. Because we just don't know how things are going to work out. Amen.
I'm going to open my Bible. What I want to talk about today is actually my team is there is no obstacles. And everything. In the army, we have this thing called rucksack. Rucksack is a bag that we carry behind us. And we gotta get it out of our rucksack. So, and put it to God's hand. So whatever we carry, we have to give it to Him. So He can help us with the rucksack that we carry. He's been so good to me. And to my family. I'm probably gonna be here talking to you guys for a little bit. Because I got a lot to say. I got a lot to share. I feel so good inside. And He made me feel that way. All the blessings that I have been getting. Because I've been struggling a lot at work. And I'll be sharing this with you guys every Sunday when I come. The Sundays that I don't come is not because I don't want to come. It's because I'm on a mission at work. And I feel that I've been slaved at work. But God knows why everything happened. And so I'm so grateful. Monday, something happened that I was expecting because I've been praying to God to help me get this assignment that I want to go to. It's a change in career. I've been said that I can't do it because I don't qualify for it. Due to when I joined the military, I didn't have the qualification to join the military. And I was told the devil is a liar. So he told me that I didn't pass the test. I believe that God got a purpose in our life. And it doesn't matter what He said, but He's
Amen.
Greater. And whatever he said, that goes. And I mean, it took me a while to understand that. But that day, when I took that test, June, and then they called me in September saying, you passed it, I mean, we give you a waiver to join the military. I just couldn't believe it. So I said, when I'm leaving. So I went in, and he said, whenever you want. I was like, are you joking with me? You know, no, we're not joking. You got selected, you're going. I was like, thank you, Jesus. So I joined the military. Now, Monday, and with the career that I'm trying to go to, I was told I won't qualify. So due to my scores and the test that I took when I joined, I haven't retaken the test. But I have faith. Mm-hmm. I went in, I put in my paperwork, even though they told me I don't qualify. You know, with faith. They called me the following week, oh, you didn't qualify, we can't pick you for that assignment. Because you don't qualify, your scores are too low. I was like, amen. I didn't accept that. I didn't accept it. I didn't even say that I'm not gonna continue. I just didn't accept it inside mm-hmm. of me because I don't believe it. So 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed, call me. Hey, I see your name in purple and it says that they give you a waiver. I was like, are you sure? I wasn't even thinking about it. Yeah, you got a waiver, so somebody gonna call you. He gave me the POC, the point of contact for that info. I called him, didn't answer. I sent him an email. Wow. 2 days later, he responded. He was like, you got selected. Your paperwork was approved. So Monday, they sent me another email saying that everything got approved by USARC, which is the overall army. And we're just waiting for a class date. That was Monday. I didn't think that it was gonna work. Mm. My faith wasn't, it is still not. But at the same time, he's getting me there. Mm. So he got a purpose for me.
Amen.
And so when I looked at, I called the next day, Tuesday, didn't answer, sent an email, didn't answer. And then I was like, I gotta stop. I gotta leave it on God's hands. Mm-hmm. He's gonna take care of it. So I stopped, I didn't call until Friday. The next email, I took off Thursday and Friday from work and took my computer home because I have faith that I was gonna get that email. Tuesday, 1:40. Friday, I checked my computer on Friday at 1:40. I mean, at 3 o'clock, but the message came at 1:40. Looked at it. Your class day is October 29. You're going to go to school. Somebody else going to contact you in a week. I was like, wow. God is so good. God is so good. I was also going to, I went back because when I was in Iraq, I know I shared this with you guys, that it was so hard when I was in Iraq, and somebody gave me a durag with Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. And the time that I was there, I was reading this. I mean, like, I was reading it. I wasn't into praying so much, like, until I started in Iraq. I even had a little Bible that I carried with me everywhere I would go. And Psalm 91, I would read the protection of the Most High. Wow. You know, so the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in who I trust. That was intense. Like, I felt, like, even reading it, I felt something in me. And it was like a change. Mm-hmm. So I believe that me going to Iraq was very intense in my faith mm-hmm. with God. And I see the change that He's making.
Amen.
And even in a day-to-day basis with my family and at home, at work, my spirit is different than how it used to be. You know, I mean, I used to go to work and just work, you know, and just work. Now I go to work, I get on my knees and I pray before I start working. Mm-hmm. I go with a good spirit, even if everybody else got a, you know, it's not in that spirit. Amen. I say, good morning, hey, how you doing? And, you know, I start smiling early in the morning, even with my wife at home, you know, before I go to work. And I thank God for all the blessings. Amen. Even when I'm in my car, when I'm driving, wherever I go, I'm praying. And I'm one more thing that I do now that I didn't used to do. I listen to Christian music.
Praise the Lord.
He wakes up in the morning and listens to Christian music.
Oh my gosh. It's so, you know. And every time my wife will listen to Christian music, I will be like, please take it off. Now I'm listening to it.
Praise the Lord.
In my car, I'm praying. Wherever I go, I'm praying. I'm talking to myself. No, not to myself. I'm talking to God. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking to Him. And I open my windows and I'm talking. And they just, I don't care if they're looking at me. I open my windows. I don't care if they're looking at me. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. I feel good inside.
Amen.
And my wife told me when I'm at home, you know, like, what happened? What's wrong? I'm like, baby, I'm so relaxed. Mm-hmm. You know, because I got it out of my rucksack. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to Him.
Amen.
You know, and I think that's what we have to do.
Amen.
You know, every turbulation, everything that we go through in life, you know, if we get it out of our rucksack and we just give it to Him, He knows what to do.
Amen.
He knows our heart. And, you know, we just gotta let Him do His, what He knows how to do.
Amen.
Better than we do.
Amen.
And, you know, and that's how I see it. And and that's how He let me see it. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for all my blessings, and I thank God for my family. And I thank God for this, that I'm here in this church.
Amen.
Because I feel that, every church that I used to go, I couldn't wait to leave.
Oh gosh,
I'm realistic.
Tell me.
I couldn't wait to leave. Like, but when I come here, I'm the first one who grabbed the So we can start clapping. Even I encourage my son.
Amen.
You know, because it's he's working in me.
Amen.
And he got a purpose for me in my life.
Amen.
You know, and I can't wait for that to happen.
Amen.
You know, and I look forward for that.
Amen.
So I just want to thank you, and this is what I had to say.
Praise
the Lord. God is continuing
to speak.
I'm sorry,
it took me long. No,
it's okay. Continuing to speak about trust.
Amen.
Amen.
In different areas, in school, and Brother Lassmith, Gwen, and,
amen.
You know, just phases, Patricia with her girls, and things that we had no clue about, God knows. You know, I'm going to read a scripture.
Amen.
Luke chapter 9. I'm trusting God. Luke chapter 9. Verse number 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Simple verse. This is Jesus. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said it simple, follow him. If anyone wants to come after him, we need to follow after him. And God gave me that scripture. Prior to this, I had something else that I was going to share prior to yesterday. Some happenings caused me to start meditating on them. And I guess God started speaking. And it's funny because as I was preparing, I was preparing for this ahead of time yesterday. But then yesterday, as I was doing the bulletin, the question came up. And y'all see it's on your bulletin. Fan or follower. What it means to truly follow Jesus. So that's the question God asked me. And then I saw the bulletin. I said, oh. What are you trying to say? But anyway, it just went along with it. So, but God also added something else. He said to me, which I'm presenting to you all, are you a fan, are you a follower, or are you a stalker of Jesus? And I say that, you know, trusting in God and what he's trying to say, or because this started from football. I don't watch football. I don't know how the game is played. I don't know one single player's name. I know a couple of team names. You know, I know the Cowboys, but that's my husband's team. And I know the Eagles and the Steelers. That's who you all go for in this church. And that's about it. But I know about, you know, what's happening with, you know, Kaepernick. That's how you say it.
Kaepernick.
I told you I don't know about them. Okay. I know what's happening with him and, you know, the stance that he's taken, or I should say the knee that he's taken. So, all of that. But anyway, what happened yesterday, number 45, said something that he shouldn't have said. So it sparked some controversy, which is what he does. It sparks controversy and divisiveness and all these other things. And I just started thinking about fans and football and God talking to me about followers and, you know, being followers of Christ and this and that, and taking stands on things, taking different stands. So that's how it came about. But let me start off first with what the definitions
of these things are. I actually looked them up in the dictionary. A fan is a supporter. They are people who enthusiastically devote themselves to something or somebody. A follower is a person who follows another in regard to his or her belief or their stand. A follower is also a disciple, a person who imitates, copies, or takes as a model of or ideal of someone else. And a stalker is somebody who follows after someone because they have these strong feelings for them. Mm-hmm. But those feelings are not necessarily good feelings. And a stalker is not necessarily following for a good reason. So, God was speaking this to me. Like, because sometimes he causes, this is what he does. He makes you look at yourself. He makes you examine yourself. And he presents you with things like, I asked you to do this. You didn't do it. You know, because following after God, it takes a love, an admiration, a respect, a reverence. You know, it takes obedience. It takes putting your sacrifice, putting yourself to the side and picking up your cross and doing what God asks you to do. That's following after God. So God was sort of saying to me, are you doing all these things? And that's where the question arose, are you a fan, are you a follower, or are you a stalker? Because if we're going to be an actual follower after God, we need to follow what he tells us to do. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. He said, if you're a fan of God, you're going to cheer. You're going to like coming to church so you can hear the choir sing, you know, so you can get your feelings, you can get your spiritual fix with the music or whatever. But when it comes down to doing the actual work, you're out because you're just a fan. You know, you just like being around, being in the midst of the crowd, being in the environment, but you don't really want to know, you know, everything else that goes on. Like people, fans of Jesus, they know about Jesus, but they don't know him personally because they don't have a relationship with him. So that's the difference between a fan and a follower. Fans get happy and sing songs. They're enthusiastic and they're in church as long as everything is going great. But God says, what happens when things start to not go so great? When you don't feel my presence, are you going to come back? Are you going to still come to church? Are you still going to seek after me? Are you still going to do what I asked you to do? Those are followers. And as I was sitting there and Christian was talking, God said that you all are followers.
Amen.
He said everything they talked about was a trust. You know, talking about trusting in him. That's a follower. You know, a fan will say, I don't need all this. I'm not doing this. This is too hard. I'm out. You follow after Jesus. You want to do what he wants you to do. You want to believe. You know, that's what a follower is. You're close enough, you know, to him to know about him. Okay. A follower of Jesus, in spite of their circumstances, in spite of how many people are in the church, in spite of who's around, or the lack of enthusiasm, or even encouragement from others, sticks around. A follower knows it's more than that. A follower strives to be like Jesus. He picks up his cross. He's willing to sacrifice, and he's willing to stay, even if things are hard. A follower knows Jesus. Now, a stalker stalker is just in the crowd. A stalker loves the enthusiasm, but not necessarily loves the person. The stalker doesn't really love Jesus. They just want to be there just to see what's going on. Like, there are some people that come to church just to see what's going on. They want to see. Like, even some people might scout out a church because they want to see who's in the choir or how they can sing or what songs are they singing or what that person is wearing. That's a stalker. That's a stalker of Jesus. Jesus doesn't want us to be stalkers. We stick around just so we can see what others are doing. We really don't want to be a part of it. We just want to see if we could separate someone else from being a part of it. That's also being a stalker. And I got this picture of a stalker because sometimes people say, oh, I got a stalker because they love me. But lions love deer. And they stalk them. Right? You see the picture of a lion when they see the deer and they're stalking them and they're looking at them, but they don't mean any good. they want to devour them. That's what stalkers do. So, but thank God there's no stalkers in this place. Amen. So that's what God is asking. Which one are we? Right? And since Jesus always teaches things that are spiritual and natural, I was like, okay, Lord, but what does this have to do with anything about football? What does that do with it? And if you are a follower of Jesus, he's going to call you to take a stand sometimes. That's what Jesus does. He came to divide. Right? He's going to tell you to take a stand. And if you follow after him, you are going to take the stand. Whatever it is, even if it means you got to stand over there by yourself, you're going to take the stand. So with the football thing, there are many people today that are going to take their knees.
Amen.
You know, some have already, just to protest. It's a sign of unity and team, and that's what Christianity is about too, unity and teamwork. So even if it doesn't affect you, it still affects somebody, and you should care enough that it does affect somebody and to do something about it. So some are going to do that today, and God is sort of saying to me, like saying to us, you know, just in the natural, the people that are taking a stand for football, those are followers of the sport. The fans are the crazy ones that paint their faces, get all excited in the crowd. They're not going to do anything because they like the excitement of the game of football. The true followers, they're going to take a stand. Because they know it's more than just about that game and what's happening in this particular game. Okay. They're going to take a stand because of the whole thing. You know, this could affect another sport. This could affect baseball or basketball. But if I affect basketball, somewhere down the line. So those true followers of the sport are going to take a stand. So that's how God brought in the spiritual. In the natural. So he's asking us, asking me, you know, which one are we? Are we a fan? Are we a follower? Or are we just a stalker? You know, I thought about something else. There's one other scripture that I had. Matthew chapter 7. I'll read that real quick. This is a scripture, Matthew chapter 7. And this is for people that are just fans. And it crosses over in the natural world too. I guess fans and stalkers. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And guys, some people are, you know, these fans that are following, they're saying things and do it look like they're appearing to be followers of Jesus. Jesus said, no, no, I don't even know you. I don't even know you. To be a follower of Jesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I wrote this down because I like this version. It says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God." So I just present you the question as God presented with me. Are you a fan? Are you a follower? Or are you a stalker? And God wants us, of course, to be followers of him. And followers of him are going to do what he requires of them to do. They're going to make those sacrifices. Even the people for football today make those sacrifices. You know, some are going to still watch. Some are going to watch just so they can see who's taking the knee. You know, those are the stalkers. But that's okay. But God is still, you know, requiring it of us. He wants to know who we are. And then I just had this last thought, what would Jesus do? You know, even if you think about football today, just think about, what would Jesus do? Would he fight for the underdog? Mm-hmm. Just think about that. And if you know that he would fight for the underdog, then that's what you should do.
Amen.
Amen. And that makes you a follower of Christ. And as my dear son said when he was 10 years old, God is watching your answer. Amen. And I'm done. Praise the Lord.
It's like crazy, right? I see you just looking and shaking your head. Oh my gosh. Well, praise God, amen. Praise God for the word. I heard a lot of things today, and we're not going to summarize a recap, but praise God for the faith that everyone is expressing as you go through various things. Amen. And that's the blessing of it, right? That this Christian life is not one of ease, but it's one of victory.
Yeah.
If we just follow God, amen. And God didn't promise that things will be easy or be our way. Right, we got opposition. We have uncertainty. We have people who plot against us. Mm-hmm. Right, we have all kinds of things. We have trials and tribulations. So we're not immune to those things, but we have help on our side, mm-hmm. And God is continually calling us to faith. Amen. As Sister Nell was speaking, though, I just had that picture in my head when she was talking about fans. And she said, you know, about fans stay around, but then things get tough. You know, they don't really want to, they don't stick with it. And I think about how you go to games sometimes and the team is losing.
Yeah.
And you see people start heading for the exit. That's what I had that picture in my mind. I said, that's exactly what they do, right? They're done. They go to the exit. They're not even standing around anymore or sitting around anymore to watch the outcome. And also think about yesterday, Christian texted me and asked me, now that Carmelo Anthony was traded, are the Knicks still my team? And I guess having heard that, I guess, see, yeah, they've always been my team. The Mets are my team. They stink. The Knicks stink. But I guess I'm a follower. because I don't just give up on them because they stink.
Right.
Amen. Because, you know, they're not winning right now.
Amen.
Because I yet have a belief that they're going to win one day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't give up just because our life doesn't appear, it doesn't seem that we're winning right now. Right?
Amen.
We hang in there. Amen. So we praise God for that. And lastly, I will say, by the way, and Sister Manal must have missed this, there was a young man who took a knee in the baseball game last night.
Oh, great.
So it's spreading. And someone has stirred up something that they did not understand. And there are too many socially aware athletes out there who are not, those days of shut up and play are over. Amen. So be prepared. I would just say to the White House, strap on your seatbelt. Because the ride is just beginning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we praise God. Amen. Praise God for everyone. Amen. And all the things that God has shared with you. And pray that you all took some notes, even if it's just on your heart. And that you can be encouraged by what somebody else said today. Amen. As well as you encouraged us. Amen. Let's just on our feet and pray today. Amen. Praise God of heaven. Father, we lift up our hands in the sanctuary and we bless the Lord. We bless you, God, because you are worthy of all the praise. We thank you, God, for what you have spoken through your people today. We thank you, God, that you have touched our hearts in ways that they need to be touched. We thank you, Lord, that you are encouraging us to trust in you and to believe in you and to exercise the gift of faith that you have given unto us. And to hold on to your promises. And Father, we thank you, God, that you show yourself to be faithful to your people, O God.
Yes.
You perform miracles, great and small, for us, O Lord. And that you continually show us that you are mindful of where we are.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you perfect those things that concern us. We thank you, God, that you look upon us, O God. And you guide us and lead us by your watchful eye. Continue to be with us, O God, as we continue to walk with you. And Father, we give you the praise and thanks for what you are doing in our lives. Have your way. Transform us, O God. Make us more like you. And Father, we thank you for doing the impossible in us.
Yes.
And we give you the praise for it. In the name of Jesus. Father, we're praying for Gwen today.
Yes,
Father, we are yet believing on you as always, O God, as we entrust her into your hands, God. We just ask you, O God, to shower her with your love, your grace, and your mercy.
Yes.
And Father, we're praying, O God, for excellence, O God.
Yes.
Excellent outcome, O Father, in the name of Jesus. We're praying, O God, that you will make all things turn out well,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord.
The scriptures tell us that Jesus does all things well.
Yeah.
And so we're believing that all things shall be well with Gwen. Father, you said in the book of Isaiah, tell the righteous that all shall be well. And so, Father God, we receive that right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that all shall be well with Gwen, that all shall be well with Brother Les. And so, Father, we thank you right now for health, healing. We thank you, O God, for restoration. We thank you, O God, for quick recovery. We thank you, O God, for the doctors and surgeons and nurses and everyone who will be attending to Gwen, that even right now you are preparing their hearts and their hands to perform with excellence. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that your power shall be released in them and through them, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen. So, Father, we thank you for your revealed goodness in Gwen's life. And, Father, we're praying for peace.
Yes,
we're praying for peace to flood Les's heart in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
a peace that passes all understanding. We're praying, oh God, for a perfect peace as she continues to trust in you. And, Father, we thank you, God, for the goodness that shall come forward in the testimony that shall be given. Father God, we eagerly await it by faith. And until then, we just lift up our hands and we continue to give your name the praise. You are worthy.
Yes.
And we bless you now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.